Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, we thank you for this night, Father God. We thank you for your station, Father God.
We ask that you have your way, that you lead us, guide us, direct us, Father God. Tonight, Father God, we ask that you draw your people in, the lost, the backsliders, Father God, tonight. We ask tonight, Father God, that you give us all a fresh new anointing of your Holy Spirit, Father God. And Father God, draw those that just need to hear your word tonight. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings tonight. And let there not be any hindrances with the radio station, with your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and we say amen and amen. I'd like to welcome my co-host tonight, my brother Gus. God bless you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good, brother John. Just excited to get into God's word tonight. How are you?
Amen. Amen. I'm good. Praise God tonight. You know, I'd like to share with the listeners tonight. Our brother Gus is from Napa, California. He's a teacher at Hillcrest Assembly of God Church there.
Hillside.
Hillside. I'm sorry. I thought it was Hillcrest. Hillside Assembly of God Church in Napa, California. Beautiful country there. If you've never been there, it's one of those, put it on your bucket list. Amen. You have to see it. It's very beautiful there. Very beautiful part of the world. Amen. So God bless you, Gus. It's good to have you tonight. I'm excited
Thank
for
you.
The word. We had prayer tonight. We prayed for the brothers and sisters, such as in France tonight. And I'd like to welcome the listeners also that are listening in France. I know there's some Paul Pia there that are listening by the internet tonight. God bless you. We love you. And tonight, and if there's any way you can reach us, like I say, by email, I'm going to pass out the email address again. If you can't call in, this area code, or I'm sorry, our email address is Gypsy Radio, the number one, GYPSY Radio, RADIO, all one word, the number one at yahoo.com. God bless you out there. Invite some friends, family members tonight for the word tonight. If you're listening by internet, I'm going to pass out the number one more time. Area code 917-889-7893. Another way that you can listen to us is through your telephone. If you want to listen with your family, you can listen through your telephone by going, or home computer, going to Blog Talk Radio. That's BLOGTALK radio.com. Type in Gypsies for Jesus Radio. Type in Gypsies for Jesus Radio, and you'll find us live, and you can listen to us every Saturday night, 11 o'clock East Coast time, 10 o'clock Central, and that's 8 o'clock on the West Coast. God bless you tonight. Well, Brother Gus, I'm going to ask the listeners, too, if you have a prayer request and you're listening by telephone, just hit one on your keypad on your telephone tonight. We'll take that prayer request. Brother Gus, would you share a little bit about the teaching tonight or the topic tonight? God bless you.
Yes, I'm excited to get into that. But before we go any further, I'd also would like to lift up the people of Paris, France, because as you know, Francois de la and those are our people, and but most importantly, they're God's people. Whether they're Christians or non-Christians, God loves them all, because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." So that's everyone. That's Christian, non-Christian, any race, regardless of who you are or your background. We want to lift up the people in Paris today because Bourgeonnais lost loved ones. There were over 200 people died. There's 99 that are critical, and there's hundreds that are Ducade, very bad, or in critical condition. This was a flat out attack on the French people. And as you know, Paris is France is allies with the United States. So if we could pray together, so that would be a prayer request of mine to the listeners that are out there. We pray for the people. Whatever you guys can do, somehow show your support. People there are hurt. They lost children. They lost babies. We don't know none of them. I don't even know any of their faces. Didn't see any pictures. But there are people. You know, whether
yes.
we know them or not, they are our people. So the people are hurt very bad. They might be a world away, but they're still hurting very bad. I've seen on the
yes.
news today, people were waiting in line just to give blood if there was blood needed, because there was so much damage done to the people that survived. They lost so much blood from the explosion, from torn limbs and parts, and you know, it's just, it's horrible. It's very bad. And there's a little bit good news that came out of that. The doctors came out of the makeshift hospitals they had on the street, John, and they said enough blood has been given. No one has to give any more blood. And look how eager the people was. They were still standing in line saying, anything we can do to help. So
yes.
you know what?
Yes.
Just because we're thousands of miles away, that doesn't mean that we can't help. We need to show our support as Christians and as brothers and as sisters. So
right.
we're going to pray for them once again. We're going to pray that this would in turn, God can shine his light, and that people can see that God saves, that they need to turn to the Lord, and God will bring the healing and the restoration. Because war doesn't do anything. All it does is it kills people and lives are lost. People need healing from God. People need to turn from their ways and turn to God. Father God, we come to you tonight, and you hear our prayers. How many of us is there? We don't know, Father. But you see all of us, Deva. Your word says, Deva, if there's two or more in agreement, you will be there. Meaning, Father, that you hear our prayers. We come to you, Father, in faith, knowing that as we're praying, you hear our prayers. We pray for the people of France. We pray for the people of Paris. We pray for the people that lost loved ones. We pray for the people that lost babies or lost a mother or lost a father. We pray for the ones that are in critical condition, that you would heal them, that this tragedy they went to went through would be a testimony that you're the true and living God who still saves and has the power to save. So, Father God, we ask that you put your protection upon the people of Paris, that you would keep them from harm, no more bombings, no more threats, Father. In the mighty name of Jehovah, we pray and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. You know,
amen.
Let's show our love, our support to the people of France. But we have to remember something. 15 years ago on 9/11, it happened to us here in the United
That's
States.
Right. That's right.
We all
right.
know about that. And so, like I say, and we pray for protection for our country, our people, the people around the world. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us if we have not love, we have nothing. We have nothing.
That's
what we are here about.
Good.
You know what? It's not.
That's very
it's not
good,
how good.
John.
It's not about how good we are. It's how good God is. Amen.
Oh man, that's great.
Keep your brothers and sisters in prayer, and God bless you tonight. Well, praise God tonight. I know Brother Gus has a good word from the Lord tonight. And brother, if you're ready, tonight we'll announce again. It's called Slaying Our Giants. Tonight. That's the topic tonight. So without further ado, Gus, if I could pray for you, my brother, as we share the word tonight.
Whenever you're ready. Whenever you're ready.
And listeners, whether you're listening by telephone or listening by internet tonight, God bless you. Agree in prayer with us tonight. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for your word, Father God. Father
mm-hmm.
God, your word is true. Your word is life, Father God. And Father God, tonight, Father God, we thank you for it. And Father God, tonight, I lift up my brother Gus to you, myself, Father God, and each and every person out there. Father God, tonight, let every word be uttered from you and the Holy Spirit, not a single word from our flesh tonight, Father God. Father God, and bless each and every one of us, the listeners, Father God. Father God, to receive your word tonight, Father God. Open up our understanding, our spiritual eyes,
hallelujah,
ears,
hallelujah.
Hearts, minds, souls, and spirits to receive it, Father God.
Praise
so, Father
yes,
God, let there not be any hindrances against your word, Father God, against your people tonight. And, Father God, we just receive it, and we thank you for your word. And, Father God, give us all, each and every listener, including ourselves, Father God, tonight, a fresh new anointing of your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. And we say amen and amen. Brother Gus, you're my
amen. Yeah, God bless you, Brother John. I'm sure Brother John already welcomed all the listeners. If you're a new listener, we thank you for joining in. We're here every Saturday, wherever you are, on the Namso, on the Polska, on the Wusia, on the Francuzo, on the Italia. We welcome you, Rome, Gage, all alike. We have one God, and he loves us all. So God bless
That's
you
right.
for tuning in wherever you're tuning in from. So tonight our topic, and we got a great topic, and it's a great story that everybody's familiar with. It's Slaying Our Giants. So, you know, just think what does that bring to mind, you know, when you think of that. Most everybody thinks, would you agree, Brother John, David and Goliath?
Yes. Yes, right. That's the first thing.
That right, that's what came
my
to,
yes.
to my mind.
Uh-huh.
Matter of fact, that's how this topic came about. And it's a great story. And there's a great start, a fabulous battle, and an even better ending. So what we want to do is we want to get into the Word and see how the Holy Spirit today can help us slay our giants. Because those giants, they keep coming. There's not only one or two or three. Matter of fact, I said this a couple of months ago on the radio. It'd be nice if you could rebuke the devil one time and he leave for good. But that's not so. He keeps coming. He keeps rolling out the punches, and he keeps coming. That's why we got to be all the more wiser, you know. That's why we got to be prepared. That's why we got to be in the Word, in season, out of season, like Paul says in Ephesians. Is it Ephesians 6 or Philippians 6, John? The sword of the Spirit, you know, the
yes,
put on the full armor of
God. Yes, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Yes, the full armor of God.
Okay. And having that armor on keeps you prepared because the battles always come. The giants always come. The problems always come. Now, we titled it Slaying Our Giants. And this is why. Because a giant can be anything. You might be having a problem today in your family, and that might be a giant problem, whether it be sons or daughters or a problem with your father, mother, Burgomania out there, maybe Bora, maybe Chavez, maybe Sogodi Jalpe and the Chotrayo, Kako Sayavel Baro Buchi Aminga, Iodel Saidelamins Kapimos, but that only comes through Leski Warba, okay? Because the word says in Zechariah, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we're going to see that David uses almost those same words. He says, you come to me with javelin and with spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. So here we're going to go. So in series one, this is going to be Slaying Our Giants, how we overcome. Okay? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Regardless of the situation, there's one way to fix it. And that's with God. Now, there's many ways God uses, but ultimately, God's the only way. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Okay? And too many times in our situations, in our problems, we want to fix. We want to take care of it. We're the ones that made the problem to begin with, so we need to give it to God. And God will take care of these. It says, if you say to this mountain, move, it shall be cast into the sea. So I'm talking to you tonight, believers, unbelievers listening. If you have a mountain in your life today, whether that might be Nasualimos, Amarodel Sabaro, and he's mighty to save. He's ready to save. That's what he loves doing. He wants to save. He's our salvation. He's our salvation. Okay, so if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's a very long chapter. It's 50 or 55 verses, and we're not going to go through the whole story. Most of us already know it, but we do need to get some scripture down. We're going to go through the first 8 verses so you guys can get the context of what we're talking about. You there, Brother John?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
So if you are ready, we're going to read this, and then the mean Brother John is going to go over about how we slay our giants. Okay? So God bless you, and we're going to be taking calls at the end of the station if you have any prayers or if you have any questions. God bless you. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah. Now these are just towns that was in ancient Israel, their cities. They were between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Benin. Verse 2, and Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Just to let you know, a cubit, depending on the Hebrew or on the Greek who used it, it was 18 to 21 inches. So you can do the math. It was 6 cubits. That gives you a total of, if it's 18 inches, that puts him at 9 feet. If you're counting 21 inches, then that puts him a little over 10 and a half feet. A Philistine champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height, verse 5, he had a helmet of bronze on his head. He's very careful that you pay attention to his armor. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. Verse 8, he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why haven't you come out to draw for battle? Am I not a Philistine? So basically what's happening here is this man is calling out all of Israel. If you just think about it, now Brother John, if you could help me out here, I know you're well versed in the New Testament more than me. Where was this the armor of God in chapter?
Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:10.
Okay. Now if you go to Ephesians 6:10 and you read that, it'll say put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that run to good news, all of these things. Now if you look at the enemy here, Brother John, look how well he's equipped to go into battle. How much more should we be? Because you know what? We're the army of God today. And if we want to fight our battles, we need to be prepared. Now, if the enemy's prepared, if you notice, he didn't come out cursing, because it says he was cursing. He was defying Israel. But look,
yes,
he also came with a helmet. He came with the sword. He came with the shield. He said there was bronze. He had a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. You know what that coat of mail is, Brother John?
No.
Okay. You notice how the divers go into a shark-infested waters and they have a coat of mail on? It's weaved together a lot of metal chains?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's so the sharks can't penetrate any, like they can't penetrate their skin, their tissue,
good
or
question.
Anything. You understand? There you go. That's exactly what that coat of mail is. So, for instance, if we were, like, if someone was to come out and, like, wave their sword and, you know, hit their chest, it wouldn't cut them. It would probably bruise them because they got hit with the sword, but it wouldn't penetrate because the coat of mail. That's why we got to have the breastplate of the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. Because when the enemy comes, the giant comes. Okay, now remember the topic, slaying our giants. You know, we might be down, but we're not out. Odell Panette, take heart, I've overcome the world. Brother John?
Amen, amen. And we have to look at something here. You know, as we look at, as Goliath is calling out the entire Israeli army, fear sets into them. It cripples the army. And we want to make it perfectly clear. When we go to fear, we become crippled by that fear. Fear paralyzes us. It paralyzes us where we won't do an action. And we feel that we're incapable of acting upon what we need to do. So fear starts to paralyze us and cripple us. And what mm-hmm. happened is that fear gave Goliath more
yeah.
power, okay, than it gave him more power than he actually had, okay? Because now he's a bully. He's calling them
mm-hmm.
out. You know, you have to realize, you know, a bully will call someone out, and that person, of course, in fear, is just standing there and not reacting, doesn't know what to do, because now fear sets in. It starts to cripple and paralyze that person. And so now the Philistine army, or the Israeli army, is crippled or paralyzed by his actions
mm-hmm.
because of fear. Okay, Beth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So look what verse 11 says. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, we're not talking about, you know, just a few men on each side. We got armies on both sides, but only one man came out. You know, it wasn't the whole army. They were there, but only one man came out, and that was Goliath. And the whole all of Israel was afraid. Sadar Ali, every single one. Because he looked bad, he talked bad, he was this big, bad dude. And, you know, rightfully so, to be feared. Matter of fact, he was the tallest man. I mean, nobody even came close. Remember that it says he was 6 cubits. Very easily, this man was 10 foot tall. But you got to remember, he was also wide. You know, he wasn't just a tall, slender man. This was a giant, okay? So his arms were big. His feet were big. His legs were big. Plus, he's got all this armor on. Now, the Israeli people, I mean, yeah, Joshua fought a lot of wars, and they fought a lot of battles, but they're used of God fighting and winning their battles because they went to wars many times, and there wasn't a lot of people, and they won. They went to Jericho. Nobody even fought in that. They praised God around the walls for 7 days. They marched around 7 times, and the walls fell. So, how do we handle this? But there's only one person here that has the understanding of how the battles are won. Look at verse 12. Now, David was the son of the Ephraimite, of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, and he had 8 sons. Now David was one of those sons, King David. So David comes, and we know that he, you know, grabs 3 smooth stones. He slings the slingshot. He hits Goliath in the head. It sunk into his head, the stone, and he falls. And then he goes and he cuts his head off. I mean, we don't have those type of battles today. We don't come army against army. We don't use bows and we don't use swords. So what are you saying, Gus? How am I supposed to fight my giant? How am I supposed to fight my problem? Well, what did David do? Look what it says David did. Verse 45. If you guys want to turn, whoever has your Bibles, or if you have the, you know, the your iPhones. Now this went on for a long time. Look at verse 16. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. For 40 days he did this. This wasn't one day. So this went on and on and on. Now look at verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin." Now there was a Darani Bochi. I mean, you think about it. There's a very scary weapons. "But I come to you." Now here's key. "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand and strike you down." You see how he said, "The Lord will deliver you." You see that, Brother John? He didn't figure, well, you know, I got all these people behind me. He figured,
that's right,
if God is for me, who could be against me? He knows that. He knows that. This is God's word living out inside of a man. This is how God's word needs to be in our lives today. If God's word, because in Hebrews it says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce the innermost parts of a man. So if we do those things, if we live out these things, and that's what David did, then it becomes more alive to us. Then we could fight our battles. Go ahead, Brother John.
Amen. Amen. See, we have to realize something. David was not king of Israel at the time. He was a lad. He was a child. Okay, he was probably like 12 years old. Okay, he was a boy. Mm-hmm. And David did something here. There's a couple things that happened. David came on the scene. At this time, he stood up against this 9-foot or 10-foot giant, and the whole army of Israel doubted David at that time. And they doubted his ability. And he faced the giant. But see, one thing David had was faith. F-A-I-T-H. Faith. He knew that God would deliver Goliath into his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that without a doubt. And he reminded, when he talked to King Saul, he reminded King Saul of something that happened. He said, you know, when I was even younger, I slayed a lion. When I was even younger, I slayed a bear with my bare hands. You see, he took action. He reminded King Saul of his victories, previous victories.
Mm.
Sometimes we need to do the same to our giant. We have to bring up our past victories. And we have to walk in faith. We have to, if you see what Gus just read there in verse 45, he spoke by faith. He said, you're coming to me with all these weapons, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
And, And he slayed the giant because he spoke it into existence.
Mm-hmm.
We could speak our healings, our blessings to our giant, whatever it might be, our problem, by faith. You see, somebody can say, well, that's just John, you know, that's just Gus, that's just, you know. But if you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you have power. If you remember last week, we shared the scripture, behold, I give you power mm-hmm. to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And I'll give you all power over all the enemy.
Yeah.
And let's repeat that. He gave us power over all the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that King David at the time was just a lad, but he had faith that he would defeat Goliath in the name of the Lord. Amen?
Yeah, it's good. What I like to say, at this point, Saul is king. But Saul is not the type of king that God wanted, that God wanted over Israel. Matter of fact, he wanted no king. He was to be their God, and they were to be his people, and there was to be nobody in the middle. But the people wanted a king. So Samuel the prophet, which the book we're reading now, said to the Lord, you know, the people want a king. I'm just kind of giving you guys some history. And he gave them this man, Saul. Saul was not a good king. Saul was the man that sacrificed. Kings were not supposed to sacrifice, only priests. That was Samuel's job. He was a priest and prophet. But he did that, and the Lord, Samuel said, the Lord's going to tear away the kingdom from you and give it to somebody else. And that was to be David. And we know David was to be king. David became king. He was the greatest king in Israel. But here's the thing. Saul was not a good king. Matter of fact, he went to a he went to a person that tells fortune, and she conjured up a dead person. That dead person was Samuel. And what happened was, well, why did you bother me? Why did you bring me up from the dead? Because he wanted to know what was going to happen in war. Where was David? And that was very wrong. All the fortune tellers was to be put out of Israel. They were not supposed to be in the land. Saul was not a person that God was pleased with. But if we read the scripture about David, it says that he was a man after God's own heart. What Saul tells David in verse 33. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, a young boy, like John said, a lad. And he has been a man of war from his youth. So let me tell you guys something. Look at this verse with me again, Brother John. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. So in other words, you have no chance. I mean, we're armies here. I made that up, Tejaz. What chance do you have? This is a 10-foot giant. You're a child. But let me tell you something. Whenever you're in ministry, and David was, because David was a person that tended the flocks. David was a man after God's own heart. David listened to his father. David was a godly person, even though he was a child. But whenever you're there, okay, follow me, trek with me. Whenever you're there, the enemy will always bring opposition and say, you can't do it. And that's what we see with Saul. Saul was a bad king, and the kingdom was ripped from him. So when you go out and you're searching God and you're wanting to be in the Word and you're wanting to be a part of God's ministry, there's always going to be opposition. So look at what he says in 33. And Saul said, you are not able to go against this Philistine. But look what David says in verse 37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Now, Brother John, let's bring that up for discussion a little bit. And my thoughts was, I'm not sure how David knew how God's going to deliver him. He just knew God was going to deliver him. Now, that's a phenomenon.
That's right. That's right. See, he spoke it. There you go, by faith. He believed in his heart, and he spoke it out. He said, I know the God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion will deliver me from this Philistine. We have to speak we have to first believe in our heart, and we have to speak out our blessing, our healing, our deliverance.
Good word.
So the enemy to hear it. Because, see, the devil's been in the lying business for over 6,000 years. So he's the father of all lies. And we're going up against a Goliath, but we're coming now in the name of the Lord. Before we knew the Lord, we were coming there with just flesh. Now we're coming with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're coming with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And see, he spoke something there. He spoke of his past victories, and he's glorifying God at the same time. David is glorifying God. We need to give God glory. We need to realize that we're not just mere men no longer, but we're supernatural beings. And we can speak these things because we have what? P-O-W-E-R. Power. Dunamis in the Greek. Dynamo.
Good. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad.
Amen.
Brother John, we're, about 40, 42 minutes into the program. Could we take a break, maybe a song, and we can get a few things together and come back?
Sure, sure.
Appreciate
amen.
That very much, brother.
Amen. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a two-minute break. Grab yourself a coffee, something to drink, and no hard liquor, guys, out there, okay? God bless you. And we'll be right back in within 2 minutes.
God bless you guys.
So stay with us. God bless you.
Okay.
We apologize for that. I just had a little problem with his phone connection, but we're back on live. God bless everyone tonight. You know, Brother Gus, as we talk, we're talking the topic is facing or slaying our giants tonight. You know, there's many giants that are in our path each and every day. like you said, it's not one, it's not two or three, but many, many. Each and every day we face some kind of obstacle, some kind of giant. You know, Jesus said, you know, talk about mountains being our obstacles. And he said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast in the sea, it shall obey you. See, we need to say it. We need to believe it. First, it starts with faith. And we talked about faith. When we become a born-again believer, the minute we become a born-again believer, something happens. A miracle transformation starts to take place in our life. And we're dealt a measure of faith, the Bible tells us.
Good.
Now, we don't know how much.
Very good.
We don't know how much faith exactly we receive, but we know one thing, that we're dealt a measure of faith. And how does our faith increase? Of course, by hearing the Word, getting into the Word, reading it for ourselves, going to church, hearing the Word, studying the Word. And our faith starts to increase. But there's also, we have to remember, the gift of faith. It's one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What do we have to do? We have to receive that gift. That's a supernatural faith, to give us supernatural ability or supernatural belief. That,
what does Paul say? We don't fight flesh and blood, but of principalities and spirits in high places.
Places. Amen. Amen. So I just want to go over this, because we like to go into an invitation out there to the listeners tonight, because we're going to have part two next Saturday night of Slaying Our Giants. And so we have to remember, let's just give a brief recap of tonight's teaching.
Yes.
Brother Gus. I'm going to share what the Lord gave me. We have to remember, fear cripples us, as it did the Israeli army. It crippled them. They were afraid of Goliath. They were afraid of facing their giant. Faith caused David to face that giant, to conquer him, to have the victory. And we have to remember also that David brought up his past victories. And He brought those up. We need to bring those up in our remembrance and say, yes, I remember, Lord, when you did this and this happened, and I was going through this, and you delivered me from that, and you blessed me with this. And bring up those past victories. And the eternity is glorifying God through the whole situation. Is still being able to lift up our hands, give him thanks, give him praise, worship, and just trusting in him, giving him glory through our battles. So that's to sum up tonight's teaching. Gus, if you have something to add, then we'll go.
I really couldn't add anything to that. I think that was great. I think that summed it up real good, because our battles, believe it or not, they're mostly faith battles, regardless of what the problem is, like we were saying earlier. They're faith battles. And faith is like a muscle. Faith doesn't make things easy. Faith makes things possible. I'll say that again. Faith doesn't make things easy. Faith makes them possible. Peter walked on water by faith. He was looking at faith, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And
Amen.
He kept his eyes on Christ, and that kept him above the waves. We talked about that, too, in the radio station. It's so good that we can stay in the Word, because we could bring up things that we brought from the Word before. And he was walking over all his problems. The waves represented the trials in life, the waves that come across us, the anger, the choli, of whether that may be with somebody else, or you're just anger. You're just mad with yourself. Maybe I should have succeeded, or I could have done better. God helps us overcome those things. And only by the Word of God, only by
Amen.
The Word of God, we become better men and women. Brother John?
Amen. Amen. And that's right. And you know what? Like I said, it takes a transformation. It takes something supernatural to happen. person in order to have victories over the enemy. And what we need to do, if there's a listener out there that you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you must be born again. Maybe you're going through a battle right now. Maybe you're facing a giant in your life.
Yeah.
Maybe it's sin. Maybe you're just sick and tired of living in sin. Maybe you know that the way you're living is just not right tonight. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 14, it says, sin will no longer have dominion over you. Sin will not have power over you. You can overcome sin by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You could have eternal life. That's the major part. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can become born again. You can start with a fresh, clean slate tonight by saying a simple prayer, but believe it in your heart. Romans chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 tells us, if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose on the third day and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we shall be saved.
Amen.
He says, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth man confesses unto salvation. We all need a Savior, each and every one of us here. I can't save you. Gus can't save you. Your pastor can't save you. But Jesus Christ already paid the price tonight. You know what? And even if you're a believer tonight, if you've been a believer and you don't know if you're going to heaven, if you don't have that assurance in your heart, you could also say this prayer. We have to remember something. A lot of people have been lied to and been deceived by false teachers out there. Jesus Christ already paid the price for your sins. He died on the cross and shed his blood. We have to believe that we're going to heaven because he already did what he did. Otherwise, what did he go to the cross for? If we're not assured of going to heaven.
Yeah, right.
Well, the thing is, we have to receive that tonight by faith.
Yeah.
Say this prayer tonight and believe in your heart. I'm going to turn it over to our brother Gus to give what we call the believer's prayer, both believers and non-believers tonight. Say this prayer tonight. God bless you.
Yeah. Brother John, good word. The word of faith is always good in any text of the scripture because the word says we walk by faith, not by sight. Before we give the sinner's prayer, just to let you know, we told you this is a three-part series. Tonight's part one. Next Saturday, we'll be giving you the answers to how David came to all this. Well, how did David come to this place that said, I could overcome him, I could beat him? How did David beat the bear? How did David kill the lion? I mean, he had to get to that place, you know what I'm saying, that supernatural strength, you know? And we remember, like John said, David was a lad. So the answer is coming next week. And we wanted to save that because there's not enough time to do it tonight. And that's going to be a blessing as well. And then we'll talk a little bit more about how to slay our giants. You know what? The sinner's prayer is the most beautifulest prayer that God can hear from his children to him. God's word tells us that it's alive and active. So when you pray this prayer, you know, Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And it's a simple prayer. Say, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner and I'm in need of forgiveness. I believe that you died for me, paying my penalty for my sins. I'm willing to accept you, Lord, as my personal Savior. I ask that you send the Holy Spirit into my life, fill me, and make me the person that you want me to be. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. That's the sinner's prayer. That's receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, surrendering your ways to his ways. God bless you, Brother John.
Amen. God bless you too. If you said that prayer, God bless you. Find yourself a Bible believing church.
Amen.
A Bible believing church tonight that believes in the whole Bible, that baptizes in water tonight. If you have a prayer request, hit one on your keypad, on your phone. We'll take your call tonight for prayer. I believe we do have a prayer request, so I'm going to take this. I don't recognize the number, but you're live on the air. God bless you.
Hi, God bless you. How are you?
I'm good.
Hi, God bless you.
I'm calling because about a 2 weeks now, my mother passed away, and my father is taking it especially hard. She was cremated. She was cremated, and he has been hanging on to the urn day and night. He won't put it down. He won't leave it anywhere. And I'm worried it's not healthy for him. And I know he's accepted the Lord. I was wondering if you could speak to him and maybe help him work his way through this and pray for him.
Yes,
we'd be more than happy to
if
pray.
If he can hear us.
Hang on, let me put him on the line. Dad?
Okay.
Put down
okay.
the urn and pick up the phone, okay? Put yeah.
Shalom.
He's there.
Hi, can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Brother John.
Father God, right now we come to you, Father God. We lift up our brother before you, Father God, and we ask, Father God, that you put peace upon him, Father God. We know where our loved ones are at, Father God.
Sir. Hang on, Dad, put down the urn and pick up the phone. The man's praying for you. Put down the urn. Oh, my God.
You fucking cunt.
Oh, my God, he dropped the
urn. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I'm sorry. We'll keep it in prayer. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, God bless
the
listeners out there.
Thank you for your call.
There's always those out there. We pray for them, and we can get rid of them just that simple by doing that. We do have another call. I believe this is our brother Chuka from Maryland. I want to take this call. We've just got a couple minutes left in the program. God bless you, my brother. How are you tonight?
Hey, bless. God bless you guys. Good word tonight. God bless you, Brother Gus, Brother John.
Thank you.
I wanted to say, you know, first of all, it's impossible to please God without faith. The Bible tells
Amen.
Us
Hebrews.
That in Hebrews
11:6.
We know that being that God is spirit, we have to do things in the spirit. And we know that our fight is not against flesh and it's not against blood, but it's against power and principality, which are spirit. And you see, here goes the wonderful thing about faith. The wonderful thing about faith is that it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that are unseen. Now, a substance is like if you leave your fingerprint on something, that's a substance of you were there. That's the evidence
that's right.
that you were there. Okay, and then it just says that it's the evidence of things unseen. See, these are kind of what we call an oxymoron. The evidence of a thing unseen. But let me tell you something. Faith is just that way. You need faith to have faith. As funny as that may sound, but you need to know who you have faith in. God wants us to know something, that there's two elements to faith. The one, first thing is being totally convinced of the truth, being certain of your reality, and having evidence of things unseen. The second is this, guys, believing, hoping in, embracing, seizing the truth. You know that believing in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, that's the first evidence of your faith. Because this is a man who was around 2,000 years ago, who died on a cross who you never seen. You weren't a witness of it. So fantastic. If you believe in Jesus Christ, there goes your first move towards faith. Now here goes the next move. Pick up that smooth stone and start slaying giants in the name of Jesus. Your giant might be cancer. Might be heart disease, might be alcoholics, you might be an alcoholic, you might be a drug addict, you might be involved in a relationship that you know God wants you to have nothing to do with. that's a giant in your life. Pick up that smooth stone. Now, there was five smooth stones on that bank, and I believe it represented the fivefold ministry. We have to remember that God has a ministry and plan for each and every believer. Pick up your ministry and start slaying the giant in your life, whatever God has given you. It might be the smallest pebble, or it might be a great mountain. But Jesus said, if you have faith, you can tell that mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. See, this is the importance of faith. It's faith that takes, it takes great faith to move the hand of God. And with great faith, the hand of God will move in your life, and you will produce fruit because of it.
Amen. Amen. Good word, my brother. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you.
We're running out of time. I got another phone call to take. Chuka, God bless you, my brother. Thank you for calling.
God bless
and
you, guys.
We're going to go. Thank you.
Thank you for
God
calling.
You. Amen. Praise God. We got one more phone call. We have less than 2 minutes left in the program. I'm going to take this area code 747. You're live on the air. God bless you.
God bless you. I'm calling back from my office line. I want to apologize.
That. Okay. Well, I want to thank all the listeners tonight for coming in tonight. We want to say God bless you from Gypsies for Jesus Radio.
Yes.
Until next Saturday night. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your program, Father God, and we thank you for your
yes,
word.
Lord.
We thank you for our
yes.
brother Gus, Father God, with the listeners tonight. Father God, lead us, guide us, direct us, Father God. Give us all a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father God, tonight meet every need, Father God. We call every need met, every bill paid by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we say amen and
amen.
Amen.
Well, at least he called back to apologize.
Yes. Yes. God bless you. Good night. We love you. Until next Saturday night. Good night.
Good night. God bless.